Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Browns this weekend, a huge matchup between 2-8-3 teams in the AFC. And Joe, we're all very much looking forward to this matchup, but what we're not looking forward to is potentially some more COVID news, and we may have some with the Browns. Josina Anderson of ESPN on Twitter reporting, quote, "I'm told personnel at the Browns facility, including some players who had already reported for the day and coaches, were recently told to leave and continue working from home until further notice, per source. I'm told a message went out letting Browns personnel know that the building will be closed effective immediately and that meetings were going to get pushed back by an hour." So not a whole lot of detail in terms of exactly what's going on there, but certainly COVID is the first thing that comes to mind, and hopefully it's not too big of an issue where you got to talk about maybe moving a game, but we've seen it. That's been something that's crept up more and more as we've gotten back into the last couple weeks of the NFL and COVID just run rampant through the country.
Yeah, so we'll have to monitor that. Could be a pretty big range of different things. There's more, like Vrabel Monday presser was from home because obviously like they have increased a lot of things. I've talked earlier on the show about, media viewing at practice has been cut down, so we kind of have to take all separate days and things like that. So some of that is happening anyway, but obviously this is a reaction to something.
Yeah, so certainly we'll keep our eye on that. But, Joe, assuming the game takes place on Sunday and that it's able to happen, just another massive matchup for the Titans in this game. And it's been, 3 weeks in a row now that you've gone from the Colts to the Ravens back to the Colts. Now another game against the Browns that could have pretty big playoff implications for the Titans down the stretch. What are your initial impressions based off what you've seen of the Browns? By the way, credit to you. Called the Browns to make the playoffs before the season. That's looking pretty good right now.
Thank you.
Way to go.
Browns and Rams.
Everyone laughed at you, Joe, after they got smoked in Baltimore in week one.
That's right.
I laughed at you.
That's
several times.
Think about that. Yeah, and that's fine. Last year I called the Niners a playoffs, and it was when I was co-hosting with Stillman. I need the audio of that. Stillman went off on me for calling the Niners a playoffs last
year. Did you call
him
to go to the Super Bowl?
No, I didn't call that. But still.
That's pretty good.
I want that audio, Stillman. I felt pretty good about it. It's weird when you bring that up. The Browns are 8-3, and they have been just humiliated twice this year by their rivals. So it's like a really weird year for them. They've been very good. The one game I watched the whole game, and at this time I didn't realize the Cowboys stunk this much. And the Cowboys stink and stunk. I mean, that's something that people did say sucked and really said it, and they actually did. But the Browns that day looked lethal offensively. They can really run the ball. Obviously, that win over the Colts was big. They've had some really impressive weeks, but then they have these big games. I mean, combined 76-13 against the Ravens and Steelers. So are they a team that when things start going bad on them, they crumble? I don't know. I mean, I don't think you can be 8-3 and be that fragile, can you?
I don't think so, but I also don't know how good they are. Like, you look at their wins. They beat Cincinnati. They beat Washington, Dallas. They had a great win against the Colts. Cincinnati again. Houston in a game that was basically played in a tornado at Cleveland. Philadelphia and Jacksonville.
Like, other than the Indy game, that's a whole lot of not very good football teams that they've beaten.
That's true. I mean, Texans 10-7, Eagles 22-17. The Jags last week, they had to stop a two-point conversion, or else that game probably goes to overtime. They have mastered the close win, you know, in the close games. They are games of a touchdown or less. I'm going to do this stat live on the air. Let's see. 1-0. 2-0, 3-0, 4. Yeah, they're 5-0 in games decided by a touchdown or less. So credit to them. Also, some of those games shouldn't be by a touchdown or less to some of the teams they're playing.
Now, if Nick Chubb would have ran in the end zone in one of those games, the margin of victory looks a little bit different in the Houston game. Yeah. But that's okay. He did run into the end zone. He stopped at the one.
The margin of my sports betting account would have been different, too.
Yes, it would have. Fourth.
Gosh.
Still holding a grudge from that. I respect it.
It's really weird because you're crushing us in pigskin pick'em. Why don't you just roadmap, that'll be your blueprint.
Yeah.
My biggest mistake this football season is not duplicating my pigskin pick'em picks.
Yeah, you'd be looking
with
you'd
real
be sitting
money.
Pretty right now.
I would be.
Start doing it.
If he starts doing it, his luck will go the other way.
I know.
Good.
I'm a little scared of that.
He's missed his opportunity.
I'm sick of
already.
Him killing us. I want him to go the other way.
Well, I talk about the Browns' schedule and kind of ripped them for, hey, they haven't really beaten anybody all that great. It is the Browns, so they probably deserve some credit for just getting to this point to begin with. They had huge expectations last year and just fell, quite frankly, flat on their face, and it didn't work. They've been a lot better this year. What's been the biggest difference? Hall of Fame offensive lineman Joe Thomas, former Cleveland Brown, joined Darren Donick and Chase yesterday and offered his thoughts. Here's what he had to say.
They got caught up in their own hype a little bit. I mean, that happens to a lot of teams in the NFL, and I think it certainly happened to the Browns last season, but they cleaned house, GM, coaching staff, brought in a new staff, and the staff that they got right now, I have a lot of respect for. They've done a tremendous job. Obviously, the Browns are 8-3 right now. Kevin Stefanski's the head coach. Andrew Berry is the GM, and it just seems like they brought in a staff that is all on the same page. They seem to have eliminated a lot of the drama that had plagued the Browns franchise for a long time. And I think they're getting the most out of these players right now.
So what do you make of those comments from Joe Thomas? And Joe, what do you make of maybe the idea of not having a lot of hype heading into this year and not a lot of expectations leading to more success, leading to a more relaxed environment there in Cleveland?
I mean, I think that was exactly why I picked him, right? Because it's the opposite. Last year, it was very easy. I'll give Stillman credit for this. He called that. I think a lot of people did, too, that's a team with all that hype. They were going to go like 7-9. They were going to be a disappointment. It was especially given the history of that franchise. But now you have still all that talent, a lot of talent. And like Joe Thomas said there, better coach, certainly. I mean, you know, the coaching situation wasn't good last year. And a chance to, you know, to really turn things around. I also will go with Jack Conklin as one of the key things for them. They run the heck out of the football. Jack Conklin is a masher, and he's been great for them. So, I mean, their offensive line and their running game is very good.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy in Clarksville texts in, how concerned are the Titans with the return of Myles Garrett? Now, Myles Garrett was activated yesterday off of the reserve COVID-19 list for Cleveland, which means he'll be ready to play on Sunday against the Titans. Obviously a huge deal. He can really get after the quarterback. The Titans will have their hands full on Sunday with Myles Garrett.
Huge deal. Sort of a, you know, it's like the reverse of last week. Buckner is out, you know, going into the game. You flip it around this week and the monster on the opposing defense is back in. And, yeah, it's very different, Browns with or without Garrett. And, I mean, to me, you know, David Questenberry has been a terrific story, and Keith Carter actually had some really great stuff to say about him yesterday, both as an inspiration but also, again, as a technician. As he said, you know, it's crazy that he has been able to really just completely translate practice field to game. That is not – everybody talks about that, but it doesn't mean it's easy or it's common, and he has done that. All that said, Myles Garrett, he's going to need help. I mean, I think anyone but Luan would. And even Luan sometimes, a little chip here and there would have been, you know, I mean, Myles Garrett is a freak. And so that is, you have to devote some of your plan to always knowing where he is and having multiple people ready to deal with him.
Myles Garrett with 9.5 sacks so far through 9 games. So a big problem the Titans are going up against on Sunday. I want to talk about Baker Mayfield. Like, does he scare you at all if you're the Titans? Like, you look at Baker Mayfield, he's completing 61% of his passes, 2,100 yards, 17 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 7.2 yards per attempt. Like, I look at Baker Mayfield, and I see some great ability there, but I don't think he's all that special of a quarterback. He's not a quarterback walking into this game that really terrifies me if I'm the Titans.
I agree. I think he's a good quarterback. You know, obviously it hurts them a lot to lose Odell Beckham. They still have some good talent. Jarvis Landry went nuts last week, but he has not had a great year. You know, Mayfield is good, but I agree with you. I think he, like, where is he in this league? I mean, he's right around middle of the pack, low half.
Yeah.
Is he second? You know, probably. He's a guy who can make plays. He can run around, extend plays.
He'll also throw you the ball.
He can do that, too.
That's the second week in a row you're going up against a guy that'll throw you the ball. Really, third with Lamar. Made a really bad decision in that game. But you'll have your opportunities, I think, in this game of Baker trying to force something in there, and maybe you can take advantage of that if you're the Titans.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you got to, you know, you got to affect him. I mean, which the Titans got done last week. But this, it's funny because the Browns, if there's one thing that's really changed from last year to this year, other than the psychological stuff we've talked about, is, I mean, it's just a much better offensive line.
Yeah.
And I think that offensive line, as constructed, is better than what the Colts had last week with all their injuries.
I would agree with that. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb texts in, an early hot take. The Titans win by 10. It's a cakewalk. Breon Borders with a pick six.
Oh, okay.
A lot of Breon Borders love out there right now. I love it.
How about that? We're calling shots already.
Should have had
already.
Pick six last week. Dropped it.
It hit him right between the three and the
right
nine.
Between. I mean, it was it was right there for him. He did get a pick later in the game. So that doesn't make up for it, but nice response.
That would be something else. Breon Borders, he's kind of becoming one of the cult heroes of this team, right?
There are going to be some Breon Borders jerseys flying around pretty soon.
Some
39 Stadium.
Has there been a significant 39 in Titans history?
Oh, not that I can remember off the top of my head. I don't think so.
I can't think.
Maybe
of
he's
one.
Number one on the list.
He's got it on lockdown.
And Breon Borders.
Breon Borders.
The Ring of Honor.
There's a jersey I might wear, you know, because
Breon Borders jersey?
You know, just because it's like
yeah.
different enough. It's alternative enough to be cool. You know?
It's like when you walk into Bridgestone Arena and you find like a Darren Turcotte jersey from back in the day from the Predators. It's how you know you're a real fan. You walk around with a Breon Borders jersey, you're in good shape.
I can't believe you just pulled Darren Turcotte out of your butt.
Yeah, I've got a wealth of knowledge on random hockey players.
That's impressive. If I could get a Detroit Tigers Jim Whale Wander jersey.
That's a great name.
If anybody out there is a Detroit Tigers fan, remembers they in the bleachers at Tiger Stadium, they had every game, this is like late 80s, they had this huge like sheet, Jim Whale Wander fan club. It's like this dude from Talia Minor Leaguer who had, you know, a cup of coffee with them. He was a Dead Milkman fan. I would absolutely wear that jersey today. Those are the cool ones.
Is he from Climax, Michigan?
He is not from Climax, Michigan.
Okay.
Not many people are. My mom is, though.
When we come back, Joe Thomas yesterday on Darren Donica Chase had some very interesting comments about the Titans' first-round pick. Do we think he's crazy? Do we agree with him? We'll discuss on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Browns coming up on Sunday. And let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Marty texts in, what is Adam Humphrey's status for Sunday? Have we heard anything at this point on Adam Humphrey's?
No, and I've been real bad about speculating. This is not something Mike Vrabel likes to do, predicting injuries. I've done a lot of predicting on Adoree Jackson. That was wrong. And last week, Humphreys is out on the field, and then Vrabel told us on Friday, you know, he's not going to get through protocol. I would say right now, is shock the word? I'd be really surprised if Adam Humphreys isn't through protocol, concussion protocol. That's got to be specified this year. Concussion protocol this week. To be available. I would very much expect Adam Humphreys to be available, and I would very much warn you that I've been wrong a lot.
You should ask Vrabel today whether or not Humphreys is going to play Sunday.
Oh, good idea. I mean,
see how that goes.
Yeah, yeah. That's an interesting thought. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah. We'll, the fans want to know if Humphries is
going to
play.
The fans would like to know if Adam Humphries is going to play.
If you get one question, you got to make that question count.
That could be very informative, that
it,
question.
It could be, but that's not what I need.
Okay.
Someone will – I don't know if someone will ask it. What? Well, so Vrabel talks at 11, and then practice is open at 12:20. Now, I mean, I expect to see Humphries out there because he was out there last week. So that's not going to tell you the answer. But also, I promise you, Vrabel's not saying today, let me tell you who's going to play Sunday and who isn't. Right. Or ever will he do that.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We were having a discussion in the last segment about Breon Borders. Has anybody worn 39 before? I got sent a link to the Tennessean, a story they did about the all-time people who've worn numbers for the Titans.
Okay.
Damian Stafford has worn number 39 for the Titans. So Breon Borders.
Who can forget Damian Stafford?
Wow.
Wow. Damian Stafford. That's a name I haven't heard
of. He appeared in 62 of a possible 64 games for the Titans between 2013 and 2016 and compiled two interceptions, 10 passes defensed, and 117 total tackles.
Hope Breon is enjoying his time in that jersey before it's retired.
Me too. Maybe put Damian Stafford in the Ring of Honor. So is Breon Borders already better than Damian Stafford?
Yes.
Already?
Yes.
He's played three games?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Porth just discounts anybody from the Wizen Hunt era. He's like, yeah, no thanks.
Hasn't Borders actually played four games?
Three, four, five. Yeah. Do I care about accuracy? Come on.
Exactly. Who's actually played four games? You know that?
Hey, Breon Borders he's been a nice story.
Oh, man. He has. Played pretty well.
He has.
Actually, if Adoree Jackson ever gets back in the lineup, maybe some actual depth at the cornerback position right now.
Well, Christian Fulton certainly is a guy who should be pushing to get back on the field. But, I mean, at this point, I think the three they have, until Adoree Jackson disrupts it, if he does at any point, I think the three they have is what they're probably going to roll with.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy texts in and says, if David Quesenberry continues to impress and shuts down Myles Garrett, what are the chances that the Titans get rid of Lawan to free up some cap space for Davis, Brown, and Smith? You think Taylor Lawan could have played his last game in a Titans jersey?
Let's not go overboard here.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I guess if they say, hey, David, you got Miles, just shut him down. And he does that? Okay, then we can start talking. I don't think they're going to do that. I think Taylor Lawan the offense has really responded here in the last game and a half. We've seen enough this year to know what Lawan means to this
Pretty
team,
important.
Right? Let's not lose sight of that.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ty text in, Joe, is Adoree going to play?
Yeah.
Time for your weekly guess.
Time for my weekly. At this point, I'll say no. How about that? Let's see if I can be right. Let's see if I can be right on something.
I think you said no last week, too.
Okay.
So you've been right.
But I will be – listen, I'll be – this is my one day I can go to practice this week. They got tighter protocols around the league. And if he's out there, I promise you an outstanding Adoree Jackson video to get you all excited about the idea that he might play Sunday.
We've seen a few of those. They've been great work by you.
Yeah, and – honestly, if you look at my last week, there were actually some pretty funny things Vrabel was saying. I don't know if the audio came through, but check it out. You can find it on my feed.
Okay.
I liked it. Wherever Vrabel, whatever drill he's in, I like to film those because you might have some hilarious comments from Vrabel.
Maybe even more so today if he sees you filming. Could be a really fun day. Bad Titans practice coming down the pike. Joe Thomas joined Darren Donick at Chase yesterday and offered up some interesting thoughts on Titans first round pick Isaiah Wilson. Now, as we know, Joe Thomas, a great player in the NFL during his time, a great offensive lineman. The Titans haven't gotten anything out of Isaiah Wilson so far this year. Here's what Joe Thomas had to say about the approach the Titans should take with Isaiah Wilson.
Well, I think this season, more than any other, I think it's really important for everybody in the organization to have patience because of the lack of offseason that these guys had. When you lose your OTAs and your mini camp and most of your training camp, there's plenty of guys that just take a little bit more time learning with those repetitions to be able to get up to speed. And so I would urge the Tennessee Titans organization and Titans fans to just have patience with Isaiah. Do you wish that he was able to be a day one starter and to be able to step right in and play great football? Of course. But that doesn't mean that he won't figure it out.
So what do you make of those comments, Joe, from Joe Thomas saying the Titans, their fan base, their front office, the coaching staff, everybody involved should have patience with Isaiah Wilson?
Well, of course they should, and they have no choice. You know, it's what's going to happen is if they get to the end and they don't, I guess if they don't win at all, you know, then you can look at the pick and say, man, what could you have done to help yourself with some other pick? But long term doesn't mean he can't grow into a great player. That's certainly possible. I mean, I can't sit here and look at everything that's happened and say, rule him out. He will never be a good NFL player. It has been a terrible start to a career. Doesn't, but of course you have to give him time. And you still look at the guy, his feet, his body, you know, what he did in college, and you have to think he has a chance to be a good tackle in the NFL. He has not done the job.
I have no problem with having patience with the player, with Isaiah Wilson, and I certainly think it's still on the table that he could become a very good tackle in this league. What Titans fans don't need to have patience with, and quite frankly, I don't think should have patience with, is drafting this guy in the first round after going to the AFC title game and getting absolutely nothing from him. I mean, you're that close. I think it's certainly reasonable for Titans fans to look around and say, all right, who else could we have taken here in this draft that could have stepped on the field and brought you something? Like T. Higgins was taken right after Isaiah Wilson in the draft. He looks pretty good in Cincinnati. It certainly could have been useful for the Titans this year. I mean, there's a bunch of different ways that you could have gone. Pass rush, you could have addressed that. Like, I have no problem with Joe Thomas's assertion that you should be patient with Isaiah Wilson, the player. I don't think you should be patient with the first round pick not coming in and playing this year.
And
that goes on John Robinson.
I don't disagree with you. What was your reaction the day they drafted him?
I thought he would be the starter. Like, I thought, okay, here's the guy coming in. Conklin's going to be gone. Isaiah Wilson would start at right tackle.
Right away.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like, I mean, I can't sit here. You know, it's one of those things like the Monday morning quarterbacking, which is what we do very well. On the day they picked him, I said, okay. I mean, I didn't think he'd necessarily be the starter right away, but I figured, okay, if things go well, Dennis Kelly is your starting right tackle to start the season. At some point, Isaiah Wilson overtakes him. Now you have Dennis Kelly back in that great role that he's filled so well, which is as that swing tackle. You have some depth. You know, you feel good about it. I didn't necessarily think he'd come right in and start, or that was the only way it would be worthwhile. The idea is to be here in December with Derrick Henry and this young masher kind of taking Conklin's place as the masher on the right side, which, of course, is not happening. But I didn't think it was terrible at the time at all. Now, it's like, I agree with you. I mean, it will be absolutely pointed to and talked about if they don't. I mean, get to the Super Bowl, I guess. I mean, that's an awfully lofty standard, but that's, like you said, you get to the AFC title game, you raise all the expectations, and you tighten your margin for error on things like this. Tighten up.
I thought you were about to go tighten up. Oh, yes.
But, I mean, you know what I was just thinking about yesterday? Someone we have not talked about. And, again, this is not one of those blame game things, but, like, when's the last time we talked about Darrington Evans?
Yeah.
Third-round pick. Could he potentially still be a factor this year? I mean, it's a hamstring, but it's interesting. I mean, the draft is just, you know, it just has not.
No.
It's not the draft you want in terms of what it's yielding on the field when you are that close the year before.
I want to read a statement from the Cleveland Browns we mentioned earlier in the hour. Josina Anderson reporting that the Browns had to close their facility. Here's what the Browns statement says. The Cleveland Browns were informed this morning that a staff member has tested positive for COVID-19. The facility is currently closed and meetings will take place remotely while contact tracing is conducted to identify any potential high-risk close contacts. The team will continue to consult with the league and our medical experts in the appropriate next steps as the health and safety of our players, coaches, and staff and the entire community remains our highest priority. So a staff member with the Browns testing positive for COVID-19.
That's I mean, at this point, I'd be surprised if there's any impact at all in the game.
Yeah,
based on how things have been going in the NFL,
and based on
still
what they find with contact tracing too. But yeah,
right. Like it could end up impacting a particular couple players or something like that. But hopefully they don't have positive tests.
But I would assume the Browns have been under the same protocols that the Titans have been under in terms of they haven't been in the building all
right.
week. Like, this would be the first time they would have been in the building.
So you would think that it would be limited on the contact tracing.
Which is why you have that rule in place to begin with, if you're the NFL. So hopefully that's the case, and they are able to go on with this game as scheduled on Sunday, because what I don't want to get into is another Tom Pelissero watch next week. I just can't do it. I've done it too much this year.
All due respect, Tom.
Yeah, we love you.
Wonderful Twitter feed. But
the hair's great, but I can't handle that anymore. I just cannot do it. When we come back, an interesting question tossed out there by our very own Ryan Porth. Which draft class is going to end up being better for John Robinson, the 2016 draft or the 2019 draft? Some very good picks in both. We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ & Harry's draft beers, plus Happ & Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Cleveland Browns at Nissan Stadium. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. And remember, Corner Pub locations will be following social distancing and safety guidelines, so make sure you keep that in mind. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and our very own Ryan Porth has come up with a wonderful question that I think is interesting when you think about it, and that goes back to some draft class for John Robinson. We talked about the 2020 draft class in the last segment. It has not been great thus far for the Titans, but two that have been so far, the 2016 class and the 2019 class. And the question is, which draft class will end up being John Robinson's best? Let's revisit the 2016 draft. Took Jack Conklin in the first round, Kevin Dodd in the second round, Austin Johnson in the second round, Derrick Henry in the second round, Kevin Byard in the third round, Tajay Sharp in the fifth round, LaShawn Sims, Sebastian Tritola, Aaron Wallace, and Kalen Reed. So some big names in 2016 when you talk about Conklin and Henry and Byard, and even Tajay Sharp to a certain degree, pretty productive for the Titans for where he was taken in the draft. You compare that to the 2019 draft, which was held here in Nashville, Tennessee. Jeffrey Simmons taken with the first-round pick for the Titans. A.J. Brown at number two. Nate Davis in the third round. Amani Hooker in the fourth round. DeAndre Walker and David Long to round out that class. So you look at that class right now, and Simmons, Brown, Davis, Hooker, and Long, all pretty important players on this team right now. Two really good drafts for the Titans and John Robinson.
Yeah, and it's a good, you know, you think about, if you're going to compare drafts to me, it's like, what great players do you have? You know, I mean, you got to have great players in a draft. So, I think in 2016, obviously we can talk about two guys who, and I know Byard has not had the year he's wanted this year. He has not been vintage Kevin Byard this year, but still, talking about one of the top safeties in the NFL, Derrick Henry. You're talking about one of the top players in the NFL, guy who has to be on some kind of MVP list right now and just doing ridiculous things at his position. That's, you know, longer track record, obviously, for those guys. That's hard to beat. But I think, I mean, if you talk about, you know, filler, like think about a good album, you know, like any Beatles album, by the way.
Wow. I'm gonna go down that road.
There's no filler. You know, it's not, it's all, everything is good. And 2019 is, and I mean, because obviously 2016, you got Kevin Dodd that is a subtraction from the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's probably, I mean, that's the worst pick John Robinson's made. So that's why I give, and what we don't know is Jeffrey Simmons going to grow into, is he going to keep progressing and be like this dominant guy in the league for several years? Is A.J. Brown going to be, is he going to be a number one receiver ever? As a joke. If those guys keep on their path, and then you think about the other guys who have, I mean, David Long is a guy who, he may be this team starting linebacker next year with Rashawn Evans, and he's, I like his potential. I think the 2019 draft is.
I mean, heck, I like DeAndre Walker's potential, and they just gave up on him.
Yeah?
Well, what would he look like this year?
Well, I mean, clearly he must not have a ton, though. Has anybody ever picked him up?
No.
So that's the one.
Didn't he go to the Patriots? Like their practice squad?
Is that right? That does sound somewhere.
Can't remember.
But, I mean, that's the one miss of 2019. Yeah. You know, 2016, you also had, like, I remember, I tell you what, from a media perspective, Sebastian Tritola, that guy, if he could play at all, would have been amazing. Holy crap, that guy was hilarious, but he wasn't good.
It's an important step.
Yeah. Austin Johnson was fine. I don't think Austin Johnson was a second-round value pick.
No.
Sharp, like you said, pretty good role player, fifth round. I mean, LeSean Sims, the fifth round.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy gave you a lot of football, gave you a lot of solid snaps. So, but it's also, we're comparing a draft with way more picks to another with fewer picks.
And then, of course, Jack Conklin in 2016 as well. Does that lose any more steam now that you know that he's not here and that you only had him for a short amount of time, relatively?
I don't think a good pick. I mean, I still think you have to just look at the value of the pick itself. I mean, they lost him in free agency. He's a very good player. Could you say that, like, was Conklin at 8? Was it worth the number 8 pick? He was all pro as a rookie. I think he was really good here. I think that after he tore the ACL, it took him a long time to get back around to being a top player. I think he's, by all accounts in Cleveland, they've been really, really happy with him. That's been a very big pickup for them. Is he a number 8 pick quality player? I would say not quite. It's kind of like, I mean, Corey Davis the next year goes 5. He's not going to be a number 5 pick player in the league, but he's a good player. I'd say Conklin's probably a little bit better player at his position over the haul of his career than Davis has been.
So you're going with the 2019 draft being the better draft for the Titans. And look, it's hard to argue that. They only had 6 players taken in that draft with 10 taken in 2016. I think I'm giving the edge to 2016. I think the trade, remember, they had the number 1 overall pick.
Yes.
That year they traded it to the Rams. The Rams take Jared Goff, and that's how you end up getting Derrick Henry in that draft in the spot that you did. Derrick Henry by himself in that draft, and then you throw in Byard and Conklin as well. I mean, you're talking about your franchise player in Derrick Henry, one of the best players in the NFL. And it's funny, I remember thinking when they drafted him in the second round, like, it seems like it could be a little high for Derrick Henry. And it turned out to be a great pick. Yeah, I mean, you had DeMarco Murray already on the team, and he had just come off a great year. And was that his first year when they drafted him?
No. They had just signed DeMarco Murray.
They just signed him. So yeah. I was like, Derrick Henry, I guess. We'll see.
So this was my first draft covering the Titans.
Now you had, like, literally just gotten there.
Just
right?
Gotten here. You know, the Preds were Preds were still going in the playoffs, so it was kind of bouncing back and forth. So that was first day over there at the facility. And so I had just started to, follow people, around here, media people. I swear, I don't mean to turn every segment into ripping Stillman, but I got to tell you this story. So I remember Jared Stillman's reaction because it was, like, all caps, I think. I think if you could find this tweet.
There's a few of those.
He was really, really mad. Now, he wasn't the only one, and in fact, I think a lot of the reaction to Derrick Henry was like, wait, you just signed DeMarco Murray. But I remember I didn't know Jared really yet, but his reaction was so, like, all caps angry. Like, why would you do this? Again, he wasn't alone on that. And it's amazing now to think back, like, wow, good thing he did that, And also amazing to think back, by the way, because the Derrick Henry story is really amazing. That midway through 2 seasons ago, he was in some level, in some talk of as trade bait.
Yeah.
And they were just frustrated. They didn't know. Everyone's frustrated. And look at him now 2 years later. This league is it can change on you.
It's a pretty incredible turnaround.
It's hard to ignore the overall potential of the 2019 class. Like, it's obviously Derrick Henry, one of the best players in now franchise history with the way he's played in the last couple of years. Obviously, the star of the 16 class, along with Kevin Byard, had an all-pro season. But, I mean, Simmons, Brown, Nate Davis is quietly just pancaking fools left and right.
That's a key, yes.
Yeah.
And you also have key depth players on defense with Hooker and Long And to your point, Joe, David Long could fill in for Jayon Brown if the Titans decide to part ways with him in free agency. So, I mean, the 2019 class, much higher batting average for John Robinson, even though you have the star power of Henry and Byard in 2016.
Yeah, it's a good debate because you have to put those two guys, obviously Henry, but I think even Byard, you have to put him over anyone in 2019. Now, a year or two from now, again, if Jeffrey Simmons keeps going.
Well, A.J. Brown keeps going.
Well, that's right. You know, cause I think you could end up having similar star power plus, again, no filler, and guys who have mattered to you. And Nate Davis is that he was one of the reasons I would shade toward 2019 because of his development. And by the way, let's think back on Nate Davis's rookie year and early in that year and his struggles. You know, they were very well documented. He had some rough games. He had some rough moments. And look at him now at the end of year two. Keith Carter talked yesterday. I mentioned that earlier, talking about David Quessenberry and stuff. Remember when everybody wanted him fired? Now there's someone that people were saying, he sucks, you suck, get him out. You know, now no one's saying that anymore. Pretty amazing.
Maybe you should start. Then he can yell at you too with Vrabel. Be good.
Just say randomly
just
that people
suck. Just
start
going down the list. I think most people in this discussion would probably lean 2019 just because of what you said. Like pretty much all of them have been a hit so far with the exception of DeAndre Walker. The star power in 2016 is great. I do wonder how much just the simple fact that they took Kevin Dodd in that draft just drags the whole thing down. I mean, that was an awful pick. Stay away from, I guess, linebackers, defensive ends from Clemson if you're John Robinson. Hadn't gone so well so far. Vic Beasley, Kevin Dodd.
Yeah, well.
Not a great track record.
No. And like
Porter
said.
Or the state of South Carolina.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, throwing in Clowney in there, too.
Yeah, Jonathan Joseph. Yeah, if you go by batting average, like Porth saying, if you think of it that way, this is a blowout. But Derrick Henry,
hard to ignore Derrick Henry
again, and getting Byard. I mean, no one had Henry as a first rounder. I don't think.
No,
like you said, I think probably that was probably about where he was slotted. I guess, but maybe second, third round pick, maybe.
Yeah,
if I recall correctly. But getting Byard in the third round. You know, you're getting yourself a Pro Bowl safety in the third round. That takes away, that erases a lot of ills when you can do just two picks like that in any draft.
And even though Kevin Byard's not had a good year so far, it's still a good pick. I know some people are going to be like, well, Kevin Byard, that pick's not looking so great right now. It's been great. It's been a great pick by John Robinson.
Is anyone saying he sucks?
Yeah, people are saying he sucks on Twitter. It's a great
not
place of rest.
Not that dramatic.
All people have said Kevin Byard sucks.
Well, I guess I shouldn't. Yeah, people say.
One week we're going to stink, and this guy sucks, and then I suck.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Mike knows. He is well aware of what's going on with his football team. When we come back, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. That's coming up next. I'm back in the driver's seat. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time for The Choice Is Yours. We throw out different scenarios, both sports and non-sports, and then debate on how we would respond to said scenarios. So it's been a good couple of weeks here. Ryan Porth got his first crack at The Choice Is Yours a couple weeks ago. Joe, you followed up with another outstanding performance last week with your questions. It's my turn again. Once again this week.
You're the king.
The godfather, back in the chair of The Choice Is Yours. Where do we want to begin today, gentlemen? Sports or non-sports?
Non-sports.
Non-sports. All righty. Let's start with, would you rather all the junk food that you love be healthy, or would you rather your sleep count as exercise? So we're trying to look out for you here. You can either enjoy all of the wonderful foods that you want to eat and be healthy that way, or your sleep counts as exercise and you just remain in phenomenal shape without really having to do anything whatsoever.
I think that I'll go first here, Porth. I think that this question is age related.
Okay.
Because I can promise you, as you get older, you can exercise all you want, and if you eat poorly, it will not matter. I mean, it really won't. I mean, like, you've got to really, really work to counteract bad eating.
Yes.
So I'm going with, I mean, if I could eat crap still in my life and it could be, like, if I could turn Reese's Cups into celery.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Right, give me that. Give me that all day.
Give me the junk food.
Are you?
All the Little Debbies. All of them.
Oh, man. Nick Saban would be in even better shape than he is right now.
I mean, ho-hos. I haven't had a ho-ho in so long.
Oatmeal cream pie.
Like lasagna. Loaded
around.
I mean, that's not even junk food. But
yeah.
Like, just any, like, not worrying about what you eat and it turns into healthy food. Oh, all day.
See, Cosmic brownies.
I would go with sleep. I love exercising, like playing sports. I hate going to the gym. Going to the gym is one of my least favorite things to do. Standing there, just wasting time on a treadmill, waiting on some idiot to get out of your way when you're trying to do some bench pressing. I cannot stand going to the gym. So if I could just crawl into bed and sleep and know that while I'm doing that, it's like I'm going to the gym and I'm getting my exercise in, that would be awesome. I mean, I could eat junk food, and I'm still 28, so I have a somewhat good metabolism. It's not great anymore, but somewhat good. Give me the sleep counting for exercise. That would be awesome.
It does sound awesome, but yeah, just wait on that metabolism. Just wait.
Switching over to sports. All right, a little Titans flair to this one. The choice is yours. You can go back and pick one draft to redo for the Titans, and that goes into a little bit of what we're talking about today. And every player I'm about to throw out was taken after the Titans pick in this respective draft. So you can go back and redo one of these. You can go back to 2002 and pick Ed Reed instead of Albert Haynesworth. You can go back to 2005, pick Aaron Rodgers instead of Pac-Man Jones. You can go back to 2011 and pick J.J. Watt instead of Jake Locker. Or you can go to 2012 and pick Russell Wilson instead of either Kendall Wright or Zach Brown. Russell Wilson taken in the third round that year. If you can go back and redo one of those, if you're the Titans, which way are you going? Ryan Porth?
Probably Aaron Rodgers over Pac-Man.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not really close for me. Ed Reed, great player, Hall of Famer. Albert Haynesworth was pretty darn good. He was not a bust. J.J. Watt, Lockard, that's probably number two for me.
Not Russell Wilson.
I was going to say, I think the Russell – I mean, I hadn't thought of the – Russell Wilson one's pretty interesting.
Is there a guarantee that Russell Wilson would have panned out with Mike Munchak and Ken Whisenhunt?
There's no guarantee.
Well, no, is there a guarantee Aaron Rodgers would have panned out with Jeff Fisher?
I'd say that had a better chance than Russell Wilson with those two numb nuts as their head coaches.
I think both those guys – I mean, I think both those guys are going to succeed wherever they go, Rodgers and Wilson. I think they're both that special. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, I've written a thing about the Aaron Rodgers pick, so I got to go with that. I know the most about it. It's – man, that's – and again, that still matters today if that happens, right? I mean, in theory – he's still healthy. He's still slinging it with the most ridiculous arm talent that maybe we've ever seen in this league. So, got to go there.
I'm surprised you didn't throw in Randy Moss over Kevin Dyson.
Well, we've already talked about that a lot.
Sure.
I've used that in choices yours before.
This is true.
I think I might go Wilson. This has nothing to do with me being a Packers fan, him ending up in Green Bay.
Yeah, you just want him to still be there.
I think I might go Russell Wilson. Can you imagine getting Russell Wilson in the third round? Why did he slip to third round? Because of his height?
Yeah. I mean, he's short.
Yeah.
Which less and less matters. But, Kyler Murray. That's the only – I mean, he was great at Wisconsin.
Kyler Murray, pretty short, too. It's working out okay for Arizona.
Yeah.
It's
Drew Brees. Drew Brees has been okay.
No love for J.J. Watt instead of Jake Locker.
I mean, that's a pretty big swing. That's a pretty big swing. Not as big as A-Rod for Pack.
But the thing is, so it's like if you try to think of what the full impact is, you could do that, and then you're still like, I guess are you still ending up with Mariota in,
I don't know,
you know, in 15. Like, I mean, not necessarily. I guess maybe you go somewhere else at QB, but I think
you're not ending up with Jake Locker.
So yeah,
that's probably
for sure.
Really good for the Titans.
But to me, if the outcome is you get a guy, a top QB, that's, you know, that's the outcome that I'm looking for.
All right, switching back to non-sports. You can spend a day as any animal on the earth. What would that animal be and why? So one day you can be any animal on the earth. What would it be and why? I'm going with an eagle.
Okay, yeah, you start because this is the one you have to
think
about.
There's a lot of things that come to mind. Would I want to be like a shark and swim around in the ocean all day? That was a choice for me. Would you want to be like a lion, be king of the jungle?
I thought of that one instantly.
But I want some flight. I got to be able to get up in the air and move around a little bit. And nothing is more majestic than the eagle. I saw one time kayaking down the river. It was very intimidating. Give me the eagle.
Yeah, you changed
my
answer.
Not the Philadelphia Eagle, but the Eagle.
You've changed my answer. So, okay, then I'll go hawk, okay? Because I can't just totally copy your answer. But I agree. I mean, like, first of all, it would be awesome to be a lion or a tiger or something like that. Like, I think about a cheetah.
Yeah.
You run that
fast.
Being
able to run. Yeah.
But also, like, even though you're an animal, like, you still have your brain. So are you okay, like, ripping apart, like, you know, an antelope in the plane?
Yeah, I'm cool with it.
So I think that would gross me out. I mean, even though I'm
one day.
Yeah.
Just one day.
But I don't want to eat that raw meat, you know? I mean, I know I'd have to. And you'd still have to do that as a bird, but I'll just take the hawk coming down and like grabbing some worms out of the ground for sustenance. And I, like you said, the flight is the part that
you don't
want to
like come down and swoop up somebody's 7-pound chihuahua and fly off with it. That's a concern with my dog.
Yeah, no, us too. And owls.
Yeah.
I didn't realize owls were so vicious until we had this little dog.
Yeah, they'll go after him. Fourth, what's your animal you'd like to be for one day?
I can't really settle on one.
Does that mean there's a lot of options or there's no options?
Both.
That doesn't make any sense. Boy.
I know that doesn't make any sense. I mean, look, you could go with a
cat.
You
could even say a dog.
All right, so you could go with a cat because cats do so many things around a house with zero consequence. Zero. You can eat all the food. You can chew all the cords. You can push over all the little ornaments or decorations around the house without any consequence.
Yeah.
If you're a cat, you can take all the naps in the world with zero consequence. You have nowhere to be except around the house. I mean, a cat, you could also go with a shark because people are scared of you and you're like the owner of the water.
It's a heck of a transition from a cat to a shark.
It's a very different day. Yeah.
You get to do nothing and sit around and flip over Christmas ornaments all day, or you could go and maul people in the ocean.
No consequence for that either, probably.
Heck of a switch.
Zero consequence.
They're not going to be catching the shark in the ocean. Nice job, Worth. That was really well done.
Wait, what's the choice?
Yeah, what are you doing? Cat or shark?
Cat shark.
Didn't they make a movie about that? Sharknado? Was there a cat shark in that? Oh, what a film.
I'm sure there's a film about cats and sharks on Shark Week somewhere.
Probably so. All right, last question of the day on The Choice is yours. Going back to sports. All right, you can pick one Titans duo combo from the past and present that I've combined together in my own special way. So I think they said on Good Morning Football yesterday, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, the top duo in the NFL right now.
They listed him number one.
So of these four duos from the Titans, which one are you taking? And this is, they did not play together, but I've combined them. Eddie George, A.J. Brown, Chris Johnson, Derek Mason, Derek Henry, Delanie Walker, or Javon Kearse, Jeffrey Simmons.
Well, okay, I mean, Walker and Henry did play together.
Yes, but okay. I'm talking prime Delanie Walker, prime Derek Henry.
Actually, I think Porth was supposed to go first, but oh well, I'm already in there. Sorry. Unless you got it. You got it?
Eddie George and A.J. Brown.
Okay. Really? Because to me, I mean, we're seeing Derrick Henry with A.J. Brown, and again, I just think Derrick Henry's a little bit better than Eddie George. But I'm going Simmons and the Freak.
Yeah.
That's my pick.
Pretty nice.
You know? I mean, combine Jeffrey Simmons at some point with an absolute monster on the edge, and what will you have? Because, and I would say this for Jarrell Casey too. He had some good guys. You know, Arakpo when he was healthy in his prime. He had some good, but he never had a guy like the Freak was for the first few years here. So that would definitely, to me, if you have a defense when you have a guy that dominant inside and a guy on the edge who's that scary. I mean, I don't think there are many things that much more fun to watch.
I think I'd go Chris Johnson, Derek Mason. Speed of Chris Johnson and how good Derek Mason was at receiver. I mean, all these duos I think are pretty good. But I think I would give what that offense could look like, and I'm assuming like the quarterback's the same for all this, what that offense could look like with Chris Johnson, Derek Mason, pretty nice. Like, who was the best receiver when Chris Johnson was here? Kenny Britt?
Well, all right, Kenny Britt had about a month where he was the best receiver in football.
Yes. I picked him up in fantasy.
I'm not kidding. Kenny Britt was amazing, but he could not stay healthy to save his life.
He could not.
Yeah, I mean, he was good.
Yeah.
He wasn't Derek Mason, but he was good. Right, he wasn't Derek Mason, and yeah, that's – I'd never thought of that before. Like, that was a really good team without having much that scares you on the outside at all. Yeah.
I mean, early on with Kenny Britt, people thought that they had found their T.O.
Oh, yeah.
And with then, how he dominated a handful of games, and then he got injured, and then it just fell apart.
Yeah. Ended up outside of Fort Campbell somewhere at some point. Yeah. It's a good time.
Hmm.
That's my edition today of The Choice is Yours.
Very good.
Thank you.
Cat Shark. The Cat Shark edition.
The Cat Shark. That was just an amazing transition. You know, you can be lazy around the house all day doing nothing as a cat, or you could just murder people as a shark in the ocean. Good job, Porth. Never dull around Ryan Porth. When we come back, we've been teasing it all day long. Joe is ready to give his top five candidates for the Vanderbilt head coaching job at football. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.